Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
My name is Jeff Eaton. I'm a Drupal developer and a consultant with Lullabot, and I've been in the Drupal community for probably about 6 years or so. I got into it probably a lot like most of the people who jumped into Drupal around that era. I had a website I was trying to build, and most of the tools that I was finding couldn't do what I needed, and I tried hacking around on my own tools for a while, and then discovered Drupal had already made a lot of the critical decisions that I felt were important, and it was already done, which turned out to be really big. About a month or so ago, I wrote a blog post called Drupal 8, The Road Ahead, just sort of laying out what I thought were some really critical key initiatives that we needed to focus on for Drupal 8, things that I was excited enough about and passionate enough about that I was going to be trying to get involved in over the next year or so, and really kind of spearheading. Most of them are actually things that people have been working on already for a year or two, so they're really reaching a point of maturity, which is actually interesting. Dries's keynote that just took place at DrupalCon, he actually mentioned the same thing. A lot of those initiatives like services, deployment management, and stuff like that, they aren't new ideas. They've been percolating in the Drupal world for, you know, maybe 2 years or so, and it feels like, you know, we can really strike while the iron is hot in Drupal 8 and get those things in core to enable the next generation of really interesting and innovative developments on top of Drupal.
So what was the main point of your post? Was it about, you know, installation profiles, or what was the thing that you got like really excited about and people sort of had a lot of comments about?
I think it was a little of both. I mean, I was hoping that there was a good balance in what was presented in that post of different interests inside of the Drupal community that complement each other. And if we could focus on enough of those complementary tools in Drupal 8 to really make it a big win for everyone, we could really, really deliver a lot. But one of the things that actually generated the most vigorous reaction, both pro and con, was the idea of having a new installation profile that ships with Drupal 8 that isn't sort of the, you know, here's a demo of Drupal, now go build your site on top of it tool that we have in, like, say, the standard install profile today. Rather, taking a very product-oriented focus and picking a particular user persona to sort of imagine them being the person who, you know, walks through this and being willing to make compromises. Like, this isn't a developer. This isn't necessarily a computer, you know, newbie who has never used anything before. It's someone whose experience with computers would be comfortable installing a piece of software, but isn't necessarily a Drupal site building guru yet and wants to have something that they can really leverage effectively for a particular use case, but then maybe sort of use it as a much smoother on-ramp into the world of site building, where they could start learning how to add modules to add functionality, maybe roll in a new theme, and just start smoothing that transition into the world that most of us think of as Drupal site building without having to just hit the blank screen and a bunch of, you know, content type creation forms. I think the hardest choices, and this is already something that we're seeing as we flesh out the details, the hardest choice is going to be choosing who it doesn't target. That's something that Drupal has never really tried to do. And I think if we want to provide a really useful demonstration of what Drupal can do out of the box, we're going to have to choose something that's interesting and unique to focus on, but not universal.
Now, with Drupal Core, there's only a certain limited amount of modules and functionality that you get, and you also have a lot of distributions that are popping up. So what would be the benefit of having sort of almost a product or a full-featured, you know, distribution within Drupal Core when it's going to have to require a bunch of contrib modules anyway?
Well, I don't actually think that it would need to require any contrib modules. To some extent, it's a bit like the Iron Chef challenge. You know, you have the tools that are in core. We know that they're useful for social websites and groups that are collaborating with each other, but aren't necessarily a closed garden like something like Unfuddle or whatever. There's an interesting world where the tools that just ship with Drupal Core can actually be very useful. And I think it's a really good exercise for us as a community to try to stretch those tools and see what can be built with them and still be very useful. And if it turns out that we can't build something useful with Drupal Core, I think that's a very valuable lesson for us to learn, and it's something that we have to figure out how to respond to.
Now, one of the big things, initiatives that Dries had mentioned in his keynote was configuration management, which is sort of exportability of configuration. Instead of clicking on buttons, you're putting it into code and being able to actually sort of launch into like a product or an installation profile. So how do you see that sort of playing into this whole initiatives that you may be taking on here?
I agree wholeheartedly. It's actually one of the things that I spent some time talking about in my blog post. In a nutshell, the capturing all of the stuff you do to set up a Drupal website, you know, creating content types, setting, you know, site-wide settings, setting up roles and permissions, menus, where they go, what all your taxonomy terms are and stuff like that. All of that's very labor-intensive, and it's very, very difficult just to sort of freeze-dry a chunk of that because you want to either share it with someone else who can use the same kinds of decisions and reuse the work that you've done, but also in the context of large websites, making changes to, say, the test version of a website, and then pushing those changes once you've tested and approved them onto the live version of the website without wiping out other stuff that's been going on the live website while you were working on it. And that's a very, very difficult problem. There are certain portions of it that we've managed to solve well in the Drupal community, but it's not by any means solved across the board. And I think there are a couple of cool initiatives like the UUID, the Universal Unique Identifiers for all of our data, that Greg Dunlap, Hayrocker, and a number of other developers have been working on. That's one of the real important building blocks. Although it doesn't solve everything for us, it's a lot easier to build useful solutions on top of stuff like that.
Now, and for a while in the Drupal community, there was a sort of meme going around of small core and maybe some possible confusion as to what that exactly meant. How is small core dead? Is it still alive? And so what do you think it means to you?
Oh, how I answer that depends on how cheeky I want to be on a given day. I think in some ways the idea of small core was just that we need to start defining a clearer separation between the parts of Drupal that we consider a framework that people build things on top of and the parts of Drupal that are really just sort of a legacy of its product-oriented history. You know, Drupal was originally built as a website for a small community of people, sort of a slash dot, you know, style site. And there are a lot of different pieces and a lot of different design choices in Drupal that still have their legacy, have their, you know, roots in those days, but make it very hard for people who want to develop in different directions. It's possible to pull those things out, but in building a distribution like, say, Open Atrium or something like that, a huge amount of time is spent undoing stuff that Drupal always puts in place because of its product history. Now, the difficulty with small core is that a lot of people ended up believing or deciding that it should mean that we just started pulling stuff out of core. And to be fair, while the name was catchy, it did imply that the goal was to make Drupal core tinier. And the implication was that you would download it and get this sort of stripped down framework like, you know, downloading Ruby or Django. And I don't think that's necessarily healthy for the Drupal community. Maybe someday in the future we could have it where people always download a prepackaged distro, but the core is this little tiny nugget. But I think it's much healthier for us to start developing an internal profile, a little tiny distro in core, that we can learn these kinds of lessons about what works to try to build out in a profile and fix those things in core without the danger of ripping it all out and then just hoping everything comes together nicely. So I would say that the idea of putting a distribution in core that focuses on a particular audience is actually very compatible with the ideals of small core, even if it doesn't make core smaller.
Now, just with you know, Drupal 7 being released and the development branch of Drupal 8 being opened today, you know, you are one of the developers in the Drupal community gets very excited about looking forward to yet the next release of Drupal, which may be a year or 2 years out. So what is it about working on Drupal 8 that is getting you like the most excited right now?
I mean, to some extent, I felt like I really burnt out during the Drupal 6 cycle, which is, you know, distant history for a lot of people. But I made a conscious decision to, while not completely step out of the Drupal 7 cycle, I wanted to take a breather. And one of the really cool things about the Drupal community is that we're large and energetic and engaged enough that that doesn't really hurt the community. You know, a couple of, you know, core developers saying, I'm going to take a breather for this release and jump in with fresh energy, you know, for the next one, I think that's a really viable model and it will help us as a community, avoid some of the, you know, cataclysmic burnout effect of people who are year after year after year just pouring energy into it. Because the people who were there working day in and day out on the Drupal 7 release, just the amount of time and energy and dedication they put into it was amazing. And I think it will be really cool when we can get to a point where everyone doesn't have to be doing that every single release in and out, because I don't think that's sustainable. I think it's much more healthy to allow people some time to recuperate. And I found that as I'm coming in and looking at the D8 cycle, I have a lot more energy and a lot of excitement about it just because I'm not in recovery mode.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot.